All right, let's talk some footy with one of the best minds in the business, Rodney Eade, back with us on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Rockets.
Morning, Daniel. How are you, mate?
I'm going very well, thank you. How's your world?
That's good. Oh, yeah, it's a bit enclosed, but other than that.
That's a good term for it. I haven't heard it used like that, but that's exactly what we are at the moment, enclosed.
We are a bit closed in cells and whatever, but anyway, it's... Here's what it is. Hopefully we can get out on Friday. But no, all good, mate.
Yeah, that's a good thing if we get out on Friday. Now, an SMS has come through. Now, you're the best person to talk about this. Any tips, Rocket, on when local footy will return? Ask someone off the SMS. You got any idea what's happening with the Mighty Bourne Tigers or local footy?
We, as you would know, historically play long weekend and against Noble Park. But that's been pushed back to the next weekend with the rest of the teams. So they're hopeful of playing on the 19th. My thought is, though, that like regional Victoria when it opened up last week, was that school footy could play but senior sport could not play. It could train. So I've got a feeling that we'll go like regional Victoria initially, the initial restriction. So I've got doubt we'll be away on the 19th, to be honest. But I hadn't heard anything, so that's just my guess at the moment.
All right, it's a big part of a lot of people's lives out there in Victoria, the local footy, well, Australia, really, the local footy scene. So hopefully it is back sooner rather than later. It's a good thing. Local sport, without a doubt. Certainly the community stuff. What about in the world of the AFL, Rocket? What we know now is there is an evolving situation at the Blues. There's a mid-season review that is now a full-on investigation almost, external review coming for the Blues. Now, you've been involved in footy clubs that have had, you would have done these through your time in footy, half-year reviews at the bye, what would have done well, what's been ordinary, how do we fix that, how do we maintain their good stuff? What is this unusual to have this level of heat in this one?
Yeah, you might know, Daniel, you're a Carlton man there.
Different program I'm involved in.
No, no. yeah, it is. It doesn't... I know I heard last night someone say on TV that, oh, this is not a witch hunt for the coach, this is about everything, which it probably is, but at the end of the day, the coach will have responsibility for a lot of things. So I don't think it sounds great, if that's the right phrase. I think forensically they're going involved in everything. And with a new president, I think that maybe some things will change. What that is, it may be some staff underneath David, maybe David himself, I don't know. But certainly as a big club that Carlton have been, and the lack of success, that something will be shaken out of the trees, there's no doubt.
Is that unnerving when you are trying to coach and that's going on? Or from outside the football club, are we sort of focusing on that too much? A club sort of reviewing themselves all the time?
Clubs are reviewing themselves all the time. The fact they've made this so public, as in what they're going to do about it, like, as you said, clubs are doing it all the time, but they don't tell you. I mean, just internally you're getting reviewed and monthly reports to the board and questions and a whole range of different things. And some clubs have done reviews when it's been, I think Geelong were one once, that it was really quiet, and they did it. They told the public once it was all finished. So to be so upfront about it and said they've brought it forward is really sounds to me like that they want to do something about what's happening on field. So to be unnerving, yes, it can be, because as a coach, you're the one in the crosshairs. You've got to then try and, maybe disengage that from the playing group. Obviously you need to, but when they do reviews like that, people get interviewed, Adam, players will get interviewed, staff will get interviewed, some will have an extra grind, so they'll chip a bucket, some will be in self-preservation mode, so they'll only say what they'll say to try and keep themselves on a job. So it's up to the person doing the review, or persons, to actually disseminate what's vital and what's real, which is the difficult part. Sometimes with review, and this is where you admire the Collingwood one that Jeff Walsh did and the Richmond one, and that those guys were able to keep their jobs, is sometimes the
results already made up. So they do a review to get the result that they want. So the answers are in the questions. And when the answers are in the questions, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but when the answers are in the questions, people are already gone. And so the people in charge want to know an answer. They want to get to this outcome, outcome A and B and C.
Yeah.
And they want the person who's... And you've seen that in government. No, they're not allowed to interview certain things. That Michael Warner's book the other day about the West Coast situation, where they weren't... The person doing the review or the interrogation wasn't allowed to have anything pre-2007. So therefore, no one can be penalised. So you actually go in with an agenda about where you want to head up.
So just on something that you experienced, because I remember interviewing you going out to the Witten Oval when you were the coach of the Bulldogs, and there was a review going on about the Dogs and about you and your future, and you're asked about it every week. And I know you got frustrated about that because the team actually wasn't travelling that badly at the time. But how do you keep that from being a distraction to the playing group so they do start to listen and do start to fracture potentially?
Yeah, I think when that was going on, the players were actually pretty tight, and they were talking to me about... It's interesting too that some players come and spoke to me and wouldn't be interviewed because they said the answers were in the questions, so it was leading. I think the group was pretty tight. We're able to stick together pretty well. Then that was the end of 1 year. We finished off okay. Then the next year we were 9.5 wins out of the first 10 games. So the review didn't change a lot, but people took pats on the backs for having a review, but it was more they dislocated their shoulders a bit from patting themselves on the back. I think it was more what happened. The group was pretty tight and it galvanised the group because they could probably see where that was coming from. So in retrospect, it sort of worked its way, but through the back door. So
possible premeditated outcomes, which is what you're talking about before, Rock. Is it a benefit for the Blues that it's an external review and not an internal review? Because internally they might have an outcome they perhaps would be thinking of and leading towards, whereas an external one comes in and just does it from scratch?
The external one might be a friend of someone at the top and being told to have a result.
Right.
So it just depends. I don't know. I mean, that's casting aspersions, and that's it depends who the person is and what connection they have with someone. But yet, hopefully, like you hear what Jason Dunstall did at Adelaide, and you hear a person of integrity like that, you know that he would actually call it as it is. So that's what you want to get. So it depends who the person is that they do. If it's a person from one of the management companies or PR companies or whatever, I wouldn't do that. But hopefully that they pick the right person.
So we're 40 games into David Teague's coaching career. He's got a record of 17 wins and 23 losses, and we spoke about it earlier today about a large portion of his coaching's been done through a pandemic. Do you think that they would know whether he's the man for the job before the review starts? Do you think that he's had enough time? Do we think it would be fair on him to be making judgment calls on him this soon?
No, I don't think he's had enough time, to be honest. As you said, there's some curveballs and there's been some hurdles along the way. There's obviously some glaring things that need to be fixed up with the team, and we can see those. So the review might even come out and say, well, he needs support in A, B and C, but he needs to be able to take those on board. I know with the Collingwood one that Nathan had some very positive feedback with the players. He hadn't lost the players and et cetera, but he needed to change some ways. Now, he was able to change that. Now, David probably but he's just got his training wheels on, but he probably just needs to learn and improve in certain areas. To answer your question, no, I don't think he's had long enough, but he'll need some support around him, whether that's a change of staff as well, different ideas, but at the same time, maybe some home truths. This is where you need to get better.
We'll see how it all unfolds. You mentioned Nathan and the Magpies had a good win on the weekend, 5 points over the Adelaide Crows. I reckon Matty Nix mentioned Adelaide too with the Jason Dunstall investigational review over there. He would have been kicking himself, wouldn't he, Matty Nix, with with not walking away with the points and having five wins at the 12-week mark?
Yeah, very much, especially the amount of easy goals that were missed.
Yeah.
Now, we media want to pick on poor Jack Higgins, but Big Tex kicks 2-6, who's such a good kick for goal, and you can have those days. So they had their opportunities. Yeah, they certainly, and obviously Collingwood kicked really straight early, kicked 7 or 8 straight, whatever it was. But I think it's a great win for Collingwood when the restrictions, what they've had to endure to be able to get there, straight from the airport on the bus, straight to the rooms, not allowed to go anywhere else. They're in hibernation before they went there. So I thought it was a terrific win. And I think I think over the time with Nathan's coaching was, they really haven't had any beltings. And they've stayed in games and against the odds at times that they really do galvanise. And they have got a really good spirit. And I think that was shown through. And they've really showed a bit of integrity. They've got some kids in now and they're starting to show their wares, which is a positive for them. So I think they're headed in the right direction. Whether they can beat Melbourne or not is another question. But certainly you'd think they'd stay in the game for a long time.
Can many teams beat Melbourne at the moment, the way they're going? After that second half performance against Brisbane was out of this world.
It was extremely good, wasn't it? And that's probably been the question mark on Melbourne over a long period of time, has been if things aren't going well, how do they bounce back? Do they hang in there against a very good side? Because they've had some wins this year where they have won ugly and they've got over the line and people have questioned them, but against a team that's top two or top three, and in very good form, 4 goals down at half time to be able to do what they did and do it comprehensively is a really good sign for them.
Yeah, hard to argue with that.
Are they showing that Leopards can change their spots, or is this just a team naturally maturing?
I think it's both. I think it changing their spots, they've probably got to the stage where, shivers, we've got some talent. We did what we did in the preliminary final when it was at 18 or 19, and then we've had a really poor season. But we're mature enough now. They've got to a stage where they're old enough to say, I'm sick of this. I think we can do something. We've got some talent. It's about time we actually showed it, and this is how we're going to do it. And they've probably got a blueprint over the summer, the way they wanted to go about it, trained it, and they've hung in there. But they seem to be a pretty tight group. Winning does that. That helps you. But they've been challenged it a few times, and it could have fractured, but they haven't. So I think the thing is you can change a spot. There's no doubt about that, Adam. But to be able to, everyone to be able to do that has been a very good positive that Simon's been able to implement.
Who's your grand finalist halfway through the year, Rocket? Who plays in the grand final?
That's a good question. I think at the moment the Demons are one.
Yes.
I'm still jury's out on the rest. Not jury. I think they're so tight. I think they're so even, and it depends on who's available. If you get, the Brisbane situation, to me a good side. And Neil's just back, but if Zorko does what he does during the finals and misses a week or two, they could be. That could be out. The Bulldogs need, and we've mentioned about the Bulldogs, they need some height and defence. They can be exposed. I know they've got a couple of good players out. Port seem to be inconsistent. Geelong are getting some players back, so they could be one as well. So I think there's 4 or 5 teams that could really challenge our Tigers, obviously, is another one.
In Melbourne, you can lock them in, says Rocket, and the other 5 are chasing for the second spot, and I reckon that's not too far off the mark. I'm with you. Lock them in. They're going beautifully. Rocket, you are going beautifully with us. We love you on a Tuesday morning. Look forward to catching up with you next week.
See you, boys. Have a good week.
Good stuff. Rodney Eade with it. The Rocket. Coach's Corner on The Breakfast Club. We'll get to a break. 8:22. James Sutherland to join us from Golf Australia after this.